Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, so there's a few words that you would not normally put into the same sentence. And in this case, I'll say conservative, and then I'll add Christian in there, Christ follower, and then I'll add New York. So you put all that stuff together, and what do you get? If you do, whether you do Common Core or actual math, I think most of us would come up with a big fat zero, as if down here in the Bible Belt or wherever you're listening, gosh, there's just no conservative Christian type people up in the upper Northeast. But that's not true. And so a few years ago, I think on Facebook originally, I found out about this wild conservative Christian woman named Shannon Joy. And she, because I get a lot of flack every time I go against Donald Trump. So there are not many people out there in the conservative media world that go down that road very often. And as I always say, and especially more lately on the show, for me, and I think you'll find this with Shannon today as you get to know her, as a follower of Christ, our job is to call balls and strikes. That's kind of the prophetic witness based on the Word of God. We call balls and strikes. And it does not matter who is at the home plate with the bat. So if you use a certain size microscope on Barack Obama, you should be willing to use the exact same microscope on Donald Trump. And if you don't, you're guilty of several things, one of which would be intellectual dishonesty. And then I can go Old Testament on you and say that you would be guilty of unequal weights and measures. So there are fewer and fewer people in the conservative world, and especially for Christians, that are willing to kind of speak out against that and call balls and strikes against Donald Trump or the Republican Party. Shannon Joy certainly does that and does it with great vigor, and she's a great researcher, and she's just full of the joy of the Lord. But she cares about the country. She cares about her fellow members of not just there in New York, where she's been on the radio for 5.5 years, but all over the country and for the country itself. So we're going to get to know Shannon and her faith journey today, and how she got into radio, which is interesting because I have a similar story. And you don't, I don't think either one of us earlier in life were thinking, "Hey, I'm going to be on the radio one day." Yet God has a good sense of humor and proving that He'll use anybody. Shannon Joy, welcome to the show. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Steve, so much for having me. This is a great opportunity, and I am excited to talk to your listeners and to talk to you today.
Well, it's awesome to have you here, and you're going through some season changes. We were talking earlier today on the radio or on the phone. We'll talk about that later, but let's start with kind of your own faith journey, and how did you end up kind of in the family of faith, and what was that like growing up, and when did you, because there's a lot of people, Shannon, you know this, there's a lot of people in the country that will talk about God, they'll talk about Christianity. There's not a whole lot of them that will talk about their relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's a different thing. So yep. Tell us about your faith journey. How did you grow up, and how did you kind of come into your relationship with Christ?
So, Steve, I was raised in a born-again Christian household. So my mother has been a born-again Christian for most of her adult life. My father was saved in the Navy when he was in his mid-20s.
Wow.
And so I grew up in a faithful home, attending church every Sunday and really connected to our faith community. And I accepted Christ into my heart when I was 5 years old, and it was with my mother. I remember when it happened, and was essentially raised up in the faith as a young girl. And like many Christians, when I went into college, I left home and went to college, went through a bit of a wild phase.
Yes.
And, you know, like so many other people, and never lost my faith. I've always been very close with Christ and never questioned my faith necessarily, but certainly moved away from, you know, my religious background and partied a little too much and had a little too much fun in those years into my early 20s and struggled in those years. Those were sad years for me. I struggled with an eating disorder for many years in my, from really it was, I think it was in my 21 years old that it began. It was late onset. And really struggled with that throughout my mid-20s. Wow. Until I met my wonderful husband, Dr. Joy, the devastatingly handsome.
Right, I've heard that. Yes, I've heard that.
As I refer to him on my radio program, and he was really a stabilizing force in my life. and I got married, began having children, and you know, it was with the birth of my first son that I really began to pursue in earnest my faith. And as an adult, and my mother always used to tell me this growing up, she said, you know, I'm going to teach you all about Jesus, and we're going to raise you as a Christian. And that's going to be the most important thing in our lives. She's like, but at some point, Shannon, you're going to have to make it your own. You're going to have to make that decision yourself to hand over your life to Christ. And you have to do that as an adult, not as a child, when you're a kid. And so it was about my mid-20s where I rededicated my life to Christ. And got back into the church, got back into the daily prayer. And
was it a particular particular event or somebody or something you went to or somebody you talked to or something you read, Shannon, that kind of flipped that switch for you again?
I think it was just the stabilizing of life. I wasn't, you know, getting married and then having children. You're not out at the bars drinking and partying.
Most likely.
And engaging in debauchery. So I think that as my life began to settle down and I loved my husband so much and I loved my son so much that I didn't want to be eating disordered and I didn't want to be engaging in that kind of lifestyle. And so it was really a quiet transition. And, you know, again in my 30s, so, you know, so that launched us into, you know, a more robust faith life. And then in my mid 30s, Steve, I rededicated my life to Christ again. You know, it's almost like pieces of yourself that you let go over the years. And I said, you know, I don't have an eating disorder anymore, and I'm not out at the bars partying, and I have a beautiful family and a beautiful husband. And Lord, I have everything I could ever want. I don't need a bigger house. I don't need a better car. I don't need more money. I just want more of you.
Yeah,
so amen. I'm fully giving my life over to you. You take me wherever you want me to go. And that was at about 35. About 6 to 8 months later, I was on the radio. And it was something that I had never pursued.
Yes, I can relate.
And never even thought. But that's where he took me. And that's where I still am.
Well, you had your love of the Lord, obviously, and that was growing. And I think we all go through those changes, and we kind of, the Lordship of Christ, he takes more and more territory as we get older and as we get to know him better. But how did the radio thing come about? I mean, and when was you have such a patriotic fervor. You have a good balance. Christ is first. Country is second. Yeah. So I want to talk about that. We're coming up on the break. And kind of how did that happen? How did God move you into that realm? And then I've done secular radio myself. I was doing 3 hours a day for about 6 weeks, filling in for some other folks. And it's not the easiest thing when you're this obnoxious, crazy Jesus follower to be on secular radio when that's not, you have to kind of observe and respect the constraints there. We'll talk about that with Shannon Joy. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. If you want to jump in here on Facebook Live, just go. You're probably looking at your Facebook page already. I'm just going to go ahead and call you out. So just instead of flipping through your feed and looking at things that we're all mindless drones now with Facebook. It's just ridiculous. But in the search box, just put Steve Noble Show. You'll find us, N-O-B-L-E. And you can join me today in the studio as well as with Shannon Joy, who is my sister in Christ from upstate New York. She's been on the radio for 5.5 years. She's God's switching her lane right now. She's still communicating, still doing her show. I think that God has bigger and better plans for you, Shannon. So we'll sit around and watch what he does over the next few weeks, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome. And Shannon, like I said, is my sister in Christ, a uber conservative, loves the country, loves the Lord more. And God's been using her on the air. And I started listening a couple years ago. And so I'm always consuming. You know how this goes. People are like, Steve, how do you do show prep? I'm like, I wake up and I pay attention. And yep. And like my radar's always on. And once I found out about Shannon, I'm like, okay, let me go check this out. And I love what you do. I love your vigor. You're a great researcher. You always bring a lot of facts to the table. It's not all emotional. It's very much like Ben Shapiro. Facts don't care about your feelings. And whereas feelings are the new facts, those of us that live in reality know that, no, facts are still facts. And so I just became a big fan immediately. And it's helpful to me to listen to Shannon. And you guys should be listening to her as well. Shannon, how can people be a part of what you're doing and the website and the app and all that other stuff? What are the addresses they need to go to?
Thanks so much, Steve. You can access all of my content at theshannonjoy.com. So www.theshannonjoy.com. Every afternoon I broadcast, I video stream live from my website and also YouTube. And you can access the live stream, the live video stream from anywhere in the country, live noon every day. People can also gain access to all of my podcasts. There are over 400 now housed on the site. You can search them by topic. I do a lot of topical shows that are research heavy, and we look a lot into the history of different issues and different organizations. And that is all under the podcast portion, where people can subscribe. It's $2.99 a month for the on-demand commercial-free podcasts. So my Twitter handle is at The Shannon Joy Show. You can find me on Facebook also under The Shannon Joy Show, or you can try to friend me at Shannon Joy. But I'm close to 5,000 friends, so I think they're going to cut me off in the first
month. So, you know, you're walking with the Lord, you're married, you have kids, and then how did you end up on the radio?
So I was in, this is so interesting, I've been in radio. Well, first of all, I've been a fan of radio since I was 9 years old, Steve. I was a Rush baby. If you can count 9 years, I count myself as a Rush baby at 9 years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
My dad started listening to Rush Limbaugh. So I was raised up on Rush Limbaugh from when I was a young kid, grew up with a steady diet of Fox News. When I was in my late teens and early 20s, I learned manners from Dr. Laura Schlesinger. And later in life, I learned the Constitution from Mark Levin. So I have been a
fan. How did you learn manners? From Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Oh, man. She tells it like it is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. And the rule is, it doesn't matter how much you hate your mother-in-law. You go to Thanksgiving dinner, you put a smile on your face, and you're nice for 2 hours and just deal with it.
Yeah, just deal with it. Get over it. So, all right. So you've been around it. Same thing for me. I've been listening to talk radio for years. I grew up in a very opinionated family.
Yep.
My parents' love language is like argument. And so I didn't know God was preparing me. But how did you move from one side of the mic to the other?
So then after growing up on radio, I actually went into the business of radio. And for about 13 and a half years, I worked as an account executive for broadcast media. So I handled marketing, advertising, client relations, copywriting for radio, network television, billboards, and outdoor advertising. And I did that for about 13 years.
Wow.
So here in Rochester, New York, I built up a large clientele of advertisers and really was on the back end, right, the business end of radio and broadcasting for 13 years. It was shortly after I rededicated my life to the Lord at, you know, I think it was around 34. I was worried about the country. Obama was in the infancy of his presidency, or no, we were midway through the Obama presidency. And I just was beginning to grow more and more agitated, worried about my children, their liberty, and whether or not they would have a constitution when all of this was done. And so I was racking my mind and my heart, you know, trying to figure out, well, what can I do? I have a full-time job. Well, it was part-time regarding the hours, but full-time in terms of what I had to bring to the table in
Sure.
terms of income for my family. And, you know, what can I do, Lord, as, you know, a working mom, three kids, a husband? And he really, at that point, began to open up doors for me. I heard clearly from him in that time, just show up. Just do stuff. You don't have to know what you're going to do.
Right, that's right.
Just do something. And so I volunteered to work on a campaign for a local politician here in Rochester, knocking on doors, passing petitions, just to do something. And it was through that connection, Bill Nojay, that I was introduced to Bob Savage. And Bob Savage owned a radio station here in upstate New York. And after meeting him a few months later, after trading some emails, he said, I think you need a radio show. And I said, great. How much can you pay me? This is awesome. I expected him to offer me a salary. And he said, well, I actually can't pay you anything.
What? No EIB-1? You don't get your own jet? What's the deal?
No, that's not the deal. And so I said, well, Bob, let's just put a pin in that for right now. Let's put a pin in that idea because I contribute 50% to the family income here.
I'm trying to make money, not spend it.
Justin Stanley Handsome is not going to go for this, right? And so we put a pin in that. But through my clients, I went back and I said, you guys, I have this like crazy opportunity to host a daily radio program on this little radio station. And one by one, I had advertisers who said, you know what, Shannon, you need to do this. And you know what? We're going to put our money behind this. And I was able to find four underwriters.
Now stop right there.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
To me, it seemed as if the Lord were just opening doors. It almost felt like it was just a bulldozer right in front of me. And he was clearing every hurdle. You know, I had kind of had my hands up saying, whoa, this is huge. I can't quit my job. I'm going to become a radio host. That's crazy. Right? Like, it was just the most bizarre thing, but he just kept paving the way. And by the way, my advertisers were secular. It was a car dealership, a bank, and a financial institution.
Yeah. Well, you're out in the business world, you know? Sure.
But I said to the Lord, I said, listen, you know, if this is what you want me to do, I will make sure, even though this is a political show, not a religious show, my number one priority is to glorify God and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And what better avenue to do that, but in politics, where everything is so heated and mean sometimes, and there's turmoil and there's discourse. What better way to glorify Jesus Christ and to glorify his name than dropping it every day or as much as I possibly can
in
a political show?
Because you kind of have to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and you have to respect the lines that are there in a secular radio show. When I was when I first syndicated back in 2016, and they had me fill in, and I was doing 3 hours a day for 6 weeks. And 2 hours of that was on secular conservative talk radio show. And I came into that, started the show in a certain way that kind of dropped the reality that I'm this Bible thumper guy into the conversation. And then you look for opportunities and God brings them to you later to bring it back into the conversation as we talk about the news of the day and politics. I'm here with Shannon Joy. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. One crazy conservative Christian is bad enough, but when you get two, and one happens to be, you know, a mom, so she's got that mama bear thing going, plus she's got the Jesus thing going, plus she's got the conservative thing going, and she's been on the radio for 5.5 years, so she is a force to be reckoned with. Her name is Shannon Joy, and I started listening to her and checking her out on Facebook and her radio show a couple years ago, and it's just been a delight to get to know her and then to find out she's my sister in Christ. So that's been awesome, and God is using her to speak truth, and like I said earlier, Shannon, our job as followers of Christ, whether you're on secular stations like you have been or whether you're playing in the Christian radio world like I do, is to bring a prophetic witness, the truth of God's word. My job is, I'm not here to comfort the afflicted. I'm here to afflict the comfortable. And now you don't do that. That's not my goal. My goal, the Bible says that to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. It's bad enough as it is, as a believer, when you come into the presence of people that are not believers, don't follow Christ. You don't need to make it any worse than that by being a jerk, but we are called to speak the truth. Tim Keller, not too far away from you in New York City, this is a sermon that I've listened to for years, which I think all of us that are in media, especially that are followers of Christ, need to remember this. He said, if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully, which is what I was with the culture war and playing that game. I had no grace. I had all kinds of truth. I know the truth. Right. I can pound the pulpit all day long on all these issues and speak biblical truth. But I didn't have any grace, so I was a bully. On the opposite end, and this is something you've been looking into and the kind of the liberalization of many churches in America, which is nothing new. If you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. You're just a compromiser. Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus was full of both grace and truth. Not 60-40, not 70-30, 100-100. It's both. And so, you know, I see that in you when I watch and when I listen. And it's not an easy world to be in because I don't know about you. But I get infuriated often as I look at what's happening to our country up in the halls of government. I've been up in D.C. once a month at the Museum of the Bible. I've been around politics for a while. And it drives me nuts and I get mad. But then I also have to remember that lost people act like lost people. And then found people don't have an excuse if they know the truth and they have their allegiance to it. But I really appreciate the way you do it. And God is continuing to expand your territory. So it's great to be doing the show with you today. Thanks for making the time. And God bless you for all you have done and that you are doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. I really am.
Yeah, so you can kind of kick off your shoes a little bit because you're used to being on secular radio, so now you're in like Jesus Bible Thumper radio for this afternoon. But
you know, it feels kind of weird. I'm with my people. I love that.
Let it all out, girl. Preach all you want. I'll just shut up.
Well, having a presence on secular radio, I'm going to paraphrase the scripture here because I don't have my Bible in front of me. But Jesus did say at one point that he didn't come to save those who are already saved. He came to save those who didn't know him. I'm totally mangling that scripture.
Well, essentially, he said, I didn't come to save the righteous, but the unrighteous. I didn't come to save people that,
That was what it was. I completely blanked on that.
That's right.
And that's really what I seek to do with my platform in secular political talk, is to just jump into the cesspool that, I mean, politics is so dirty and it's so awful that, you know, what I want to do is just, I want to glorify Christ and just have him shining through as a beacon as we really struggle in this country through incredibly difficult political times. And I'm not just saying right versus left. I'm talking about within the community, within the Republican community, and even the conservative community, which we have seen now over the past 2 to 3 years tear itself apart into factions. And there is so much division and divisiveness, a lot of it centering around this President Donald Trump. It's not all his fault, but it just is what it is. And if anything, I see this as an opportunity for reconciliation. And the only way towards reconciliation and peace is through Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
I'm convinced of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you can't look to, and by the way, if that's pizza, you better send me a slice.
You're my doorbell. I'm so sorry.
Hey, they're used to it. Like I told you before, I've done this radio show all over the place. This is like really tame. But yeah, I think the reality for all of us, and I push back on this all the time, because I think a lot of people in the conservative circles, as well as the liberal side, believers and unbelievers, but a whole lot of believers in this country that are conservative, are of our ilk, politically speaking, are absolutely political idolaters. They think, they act like the answer, I'm like, hey, you know what? Does God care about America? Sure he does. But he cares a whole lot more about Americans than he does about America. And we sometimes forget that and act as if God can't handle, like Donald Trump's elected or Hillary Clinton's elected, and God's like, oh man, what am I gonna do?
Yep, we're done.
This is good. This is toast. It's over. I'm just gonna go on vacation.
Let's all go home. They won.
Right. So I fight this all the time, Shannon, and I'm sure you do as well. I'm like, listen, we live in the here and the now, and my heart breaks for the here and the now. And when you and I are out of here and we go to heaven with our Father, and we're out of here, but our kids are going to get dumped on in so many different ways. I think the financial shape of this country next to the life issue is the biggest moral crisis that we're facing. And I'm like, how do we bear that? How do we do nothing when we're dumping this whole thing on our kids? And so we ache over the here and the now. We long for the there and the then. And that's just the tension of the Christian life. But if you don't engage politics in America, I don't think you're loving your neighbor well. And if you're not loving your neighbor, that's a stinking sin. I'll make that case all day long. So how do you handle it? Because you're researching, you're spending hours every day doing this. How do you not lose your mind and lose your joy? Not that I'm trying to quote your last name.
Sure. Well, Steve, that was an exercise for me, and that was a learning curve for me when I started the show 5.5 years ago, right? So you begin to educate yourself on politics and really pay attention, and you begin to bear the weight of the world, right? The problems are not just Democrat versus Republican. I mean, they are much bigger. You have all sorts of, corporate and global financiers coming in, and they're scheming in this area and scheming in that area to take over education and healthcare, to grow the centralized government to the exclusion of the glorification of God, right? And you begin to get worried, right? Because how can I, you look at yourself as a warrior, and how can we fix this? How can we fix
this?
That was a wake-up call to me as I began to realize the scope of the problem. And when I began to feel fear, I knew that wasn't from the Lord.
Amen.
I knew it wasn't from the Lord, and it was a period of a few months where I felt fearful. And at one point, it just dawned on me. I said, away with you, Satan. This is not from the Lord. He didn't call me to do this to be afraid.
That's right.
Right? And so what I found was this balance, right? And I found that balance in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And if you read Proverbs, it was written primarily by King Solomon, who was the son of David, and he was had great wisdom. And for anyone who seeks wisdom, I highly recommend starting with Proverbs and read it over and over and over and over, because it will give you a great amount of wisdom, but it will also become a burden onto your soul, because when you realize the weight right. of this fallen world, right, that we all have to live in, it can crush you. If you read Ecclesiastes, which is the follow-up chapter in the Old Testament, also attributed to King Solomon, you see a much different message where, you know, everything's not so serious. And, you know, I worked hard. I was honest. I did all of these things. I built up all this stuff and my kids don't like me and it doesn't even matter. I'm going to die anyway. And it's all so awful. Right?
Yeah, you might
as well just eat, drink, and be merry, because we're all going to die tomorrow.
Right. Vanity. It's all vanity. Right. That's what he
said. Vanity. It's all vanity. And it was in that moment that it clicked into my mind what I think God was trying to say to me. And what he was saying was that it's all really important. That's Proverbs, but not so much.
Yeah.
That's Ecclesiastes, right?
Right.
If you're a whisper, it's dust.
And well, you get to the end of Ecclesiastes, and I've taught on that, and we just put a link up, and for friends here that you listen to Shannon Joy, I write daily devotionals. I mentioned this to you this morning. We're just now getting into chapter 17 in the book of Proverbs. I've written 95 of them already, so we've got another 14 chapters to go.
Woo!
It is so rich. And you get through all of that. And the cool thing about a Proverbs is that there's 31 chapters. In most months, there's 31 days in the month. So you can read one chapter a day and you'll be a whole lot smarter in a month than you are right now. But you get over to Ecclesiastes. And at the end, the wisest guy that's ever lived, he did everything. You think Donald Trump's lived a big life? He's lived nothing compared to Solomon. All right. Donald Trump's had what? 3 wives. Solomon had hundreds. Nice try, Donald.
Solomon built the temple, not Trump Tower.
Right. That's a good, an important distinction. But at the end, he's like, what is the point of all of it? To keep the wisest man that ever lived boils it down to love God and keep his commandments.
Amen.
The whole thing. And yeah, then that should cut through and clarify for us that are followers of Christ, conservatives in the political realm, that, like I said, and like you've been saying, we live in the now, we live in the here and the now, we care for the neighbor, we care for the nation. But I'm not owned by it, because we're also citizens of the kingdom of heaven, which we know eventually we are out of here.
That's right.
We're out of here.
Well, and Steve, it also gave me the freedom to, it set my spirit free, because all of a sudden I knew I don't have to solve everything.
Yeah, there you go, girl.
All I need to do, God has the plan.
That's right. Amen.
I don't need the plan. All I need to do is follow him.
Amen.
Keep his commandments and go where he leads me.
There you go.
He takes care of the rest.
Talking to Shannon Joy, this is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Well, I got a message. I got a song. Can I get a witness? Tell me what's going on. Welcome back. Merry Christmas. Rocking the house in the name of Jesus. Yes, just, you know that already if you've ever listened to the show before. You know what my deal is. But you don't know. Well, you know a little bit now what Shannon Joy's deal is. And she's like me. God called her into it, enabled her, and gave her that voice and gave her the vigor and gave her the mind for it and the personality for it. And she's been doing conservative talk radio for 5 years, and she's a follower of Christ, and she's in upstate New York. And God's changing her lanes right now, so we'll see what he's going to do next. But I'm sure it's going to be awesome, and I look forward to seeing what's going on there. And I've been listening to Shannon for the last couple years, and so we've gotten to know each other a little bit, and just wanted to share the space today with her, because I'm not the only person, obviously, that God can speak through, and he's certainly doing a work through Shannon. And so let's take a little turn here, Shannon. And again, thanks for being with us today. Politics. Let's talk about a couple of big issues on your radar screen. Let's do two, because we just don't have enough time to do as much. We could go all evening doing that. But just pick a couple of big ones that are looming for you and you're very concerned about in the state of the nation.
Today, Steve, I am concerned about the state of the evangelical Christian community in this country, in the unholy alliance to support a president, the Republican Donald Trump, that they are in danger of leading a large flock of Christians astray. And their voices are more important than ever. I know that you talked about the Republican complicity in funding Planned Parenthood to the tune of $1.5 billion over the past you know, 2 years and into 2019. This is put in place by Republicans, signed by a Republican president. And we're not seeing the evangelical Christian church influence Trump. What we're seeing over the past 2.5 years is Trump influencing the evangelical church and asking people time and time again to reject their biblical values and to make excuses for, you know, some of these works. And so, you know, this is something that is, as we shift from the idolizing God and putting him first, which is where he should be, we are shifting our idolatry. And this is at the hands of very large institutions, folks like Franklin Graham and some of the big religious leaders in the U.S. today are, I think, putting us in danger, at, you know, worshiping a false prophet. So that's one of the areas that I'm most concerned.
Well, and we saw, and this, there's a deep fissure in the evangelical world, and it's mostly along age lines when you go kind of 45 and under, because my pastor, who's J.D. Greer, the Summit Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina, who happens to be the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's okay. Like 44. And so anybody at that age and under, that's where you had a lot of absolute never Trumpers in the evangelical world who were like, this guy's got such a checkered pass. We don't believe that he's got any moral standing whatsoever. So how could we possibly vote for him? And then you have the other side, like you were talking about, Franklin Graham and a lot of people that are on the Evangelical Advisory Council and okay. Falwell up at Liberty, who act like I'm trying not to judge their hearts, but many of them act like the man can walk on water. And many of them, I've been to D.C. I've spent time in some of these offices. It is absolutely intoxicating. And to have access really rubs your flesh.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these guys are willing to kind of set things aside. We were talking earlier about just calling balls and strikes. And so you get a lot of flack. I get hammered on my Facebook page anytime I do anything anti-Trump. And it's really exposing a big problem, I think, for people that call themselves Christians.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is not just, I mean, there's also a crisis in the evangelical community of progressivism. And there is a concerted effort by major progressive donors and, I mean, millions upon millions of dollars that are being shoved into evangelical communities right. and churches to push forth essentially, you know, the prosperity doctrine, but also, you know, liberation theology. And this was, I mean,
or they'll read the book of Acts and say, see, the early Christian church was like socialism.
Absolutely. And so they will cherry pick certain scriptures sure. in order to justify a socialist utopia. And they'll ignore the rest of the scripture, which, you know, asks for a balance. But that liberation theology, the BDS movement, the taking apart of scriptural biblical truth, this is a concerted effort. It's something that I'm excited. Judd Saul and Kerry Gordon out of Iowa, he's a pastor out of Iowa, they are working on a feature-length documentary on the assault, the progressive assault yeah. on the evangelical community. And this is in churches across the country. I recently left one of the larger churches here in my hometown of Rochester because of this theology creeping in. It is political idolatry. A lot of these churches and faith organizations are receiving an enormous amount of funding from the federal government in terms of refugee resettlement programs.
Sure.
Also, if you look at some of the charitable foundations, most of them are getting an enormous amount of money in terms of federal grants, subsidies, and straight out business from the federal government. So they are being compromised at a breakneck pace, and it's something that no one really is addressing right now in the Christian community. It needs to be addressed.
Yeah, that's a big deal, and we talk about that often in just terms of bad theology and people. You can go down the wrong road, whether to the right or to the left, and use the Bible as your weapon. Most people, Shannon, just don't understand the Bible. Most people are so ignorant when it comes to scripture. They're so ignorant when it comes to theology. And so they look at the migrant crisis and they go, well, we should let everybody in. Well, no, I can make a really firm Old Testament argument about national
yep.
sovereignty
yep.
and your willingness and why God puts governments in place in the first place. But a lot of people just don't know their Bible. They've never been taught. They have bad or weak or non-existent theology. And we're seeing that happen all over the place. All right. So that's one thing. Give me another one. What's another one that's really big on your radar screen?
This is a constant frustration to me over the past 5.5 years. I have done hundreds upon hundreds of hours of study into education in America. And if you listen to conservative talk radio, political talk radio, if you listen to even some of the Christian talkers, they will talk about the indoctrination happening on college campuses. They will talk about the injustice and the political and the squelching of political free speech on college campuses. And they will focus incessantly on education in terms of college campuses. But you cannot get any of these entities, not Drudge, not Fox, not Rush, not Hannity, even some of the religious entities, to talk about what is happening in public
right.
schools. And if you think what is happening on a college campus is bad, you multiply that by 10 and you put it in front of kindergartners in terms of the Common Core curriculum, because you have all sorts of political propaganda, but also the destruction of any type of God-like authority in the lives of children. And this is happening as early as kindergarten. We have curriculums, sex ed curriculums now, that are geared towards teaching children that there's no such thing as gender. This is rampant throughout the country already. It's in every public school, every single charter school, and most private schools, that you can't get a conservative to talk about it.
No, and you know who's behind a lot of that sex ed now across the country? It's Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. And Planned Parenthood, amazingly enough, you know, some of the alternate curriculum that is being put out by religious organizations, and we exposed this on my radio program a year ago, some of the most explicit content you can ever imagine that was put in front of fifth graders, and I forget the state, but this came from Lighthouse Pregnancy Center, which was apparently a pro-life organization, but they were getting government funding, and they wanted to get in on the sex ed curriculum business.
Oh, man.
But they had to comply with certain standards. And so they put, I mean, the questions that were asked in terms of this curriculum put out by a Christian organization or so-called Christian organization would curl your toes. Yet no one is watching what's happening here. So there is, in terms of data collection, the eroding of parental rights. You have schools expanding into healthcare organizations, mental health organizations. They are creeping into the lives of children. They are replacing the parents. This is happening whether it's a Republican or a Democrat.
Right.
It's all through these federal, massive federal bills like ESSA, but also Common Core. And no one is talking about this.
Well, you've got, and you know, this is, I teach Constitution and civics to high school age homeschoolers, and you've got a situation where you're the feds now, because of block grants and Title IX and all the other ways that they send money down to the states, they're implementing their federal agenda and their federal vision on a state and local level by tying it to money.
Yes.
So if you want money, and then all our states are hooked on it, like the second biggest item, income item for virtually every state in America behind their own state taxes is block grants and Pell grants and the other types of grants that you get from the government. That's the number two income source for states.
Yeah.
And the only way they get that money is to play ball. That's why
you saw
Texas back in 2008 say, no, thank you. I'm waiting for the day Texas secedes. I'll jump down there. But that's the thing, and nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, Texas is one of the worst states, and this is a great example of the unibrow and the Republican version of progressivism. Texas has gone down the rabbit hole in terms of Common Core. They call it TECS, T-E-K-S, which is the Texas Education and Knowledge Standards. But they are Common Core standards. They are identical to the federal Common Core standards. And so Texas is almost more entrenched into this indoctrination than even states in New York. It's a huge, huge story. And you know, Christians have abdicated because they, you know, their kids might be safely in religious
right.
or safely homeschooled.
Exactly.
What they don't realize is that the socialists are building an army in public schools.
Yeah, that's why I always say, when we used to get into it, when we were doing a lot of activism locally and the local media knew I was a homeschooler, they'd be like, well, Steve, where do your kids go to school? I'm like, you already know they're homeschooled.
Right.
But why am I involved? Because I love my neighbor as myself, so it doesn't matter if it's not my kids. And as a constitutionalist, they're spending my money, so I'm going to stay involved there, too. Shannon Joy, tell everybody again real quick, how can they be a part of your show?
go to theshannonjoy.com, theshannonjoy.com. You can support my program. We are 100% listener supported right now, so any donation helps. And subscribe today.
Awesome. Shannon, thanks so much for being with us. Hold on there for a second, though, on Facebook Live. We're going to pray for you. Thanks for everybody being here. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.